lucky for us,
you don't need to know how to ride a bike to host a radio show.
Touchdown!
Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress. From 9 to noon every day on The Roar.
Live from the Roar FM studios in Clemson, it's time for Facts on Sports.
Please, it's intercepted! And the Tigers go in the other
way. What a hit! Denzel Ward!
With Facts and Childress.
You got barbecue back there?
And Sam Jones.
And you didn't invite me?
Here are your hosts, Facts and Childress and Sam Jones on Roar FM.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Thursday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and Sam Jones here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. It is Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. We are glad to have you with us on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. A lot to get to today will be my final show of the week, and Sam Jones will be taking the reins tomorrow, which I'm very appreciative of. Looking forward to that as well. And Sam, we'll bring you in bright and early on that note.
I will not be taking the reins.
You're not hosting anymore?
You ever seen the New Girl like press clip where it's like, we want you to watch in Nashville tomorrow night, and then they're in Memphis. We want you to watch on Broadway tomorrow night. And they're supposed to be in Beale Street. And then they get the time wrong, too. No, I will not. Tomorrow we are off. I will be in and around next week in different time slots because you are out of town next week.
I am.
You are off on vacation next week before football season. And Kwok is in Italy, I believe. So a lot of fun stuff going on next week. We'll get you that schedule as it comes. But nothing tomorrow in this time slot. But to answer your roundabout question, I'm good today. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I didn't realize that I had been schedule switched on. Texter gets in and says, good morning, boys. I hate Pete Golding even more today. Yeah. The commentary yesterday was something.
We will get to that.
on some of it, he wasn't lying.
We haven't gotten any SEC Media Day stuff yet.
Yeah, we haven't. There were a couple things that Golding said that I was like, all right, dude, come on. And there were a couple things where like, yeah, you know, the worst person you know just made a great point. and I think the thing about the athletic directors was the embodiment of the worst person you know just made a great point. He's like, oh, these ADs are bleeping about tampering, but they're the ones that are calling coaches that are already at posts at other schools to see if they'd be interested in an opening. And I'm like, well, you know what, Pete? You suck, but you're right. But you're right.
He did make a pretty good point, I thought, yesterday. We're going to give him his two good points before he gives all his bad points, because there are plenty of them. Did you see what he said about Kiwon Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss? When he got to them for like their postseason meeting and they were thinking about transferring or going wherever, he basically said, and I'll paraphrase him here, you see that guy that just left 3 days ago? 3 days ago, they would have built him a statue. Now they're pissing on his grave.
Yeah.
That's what he said to Kiwon Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss. It worked. Still there. So
with Pete Golding, there is a certain level of respect that I have for him because he is blatantly ignorant and does not care.
Is it respect or amusement?
And I think amusement is the right word, where it's like, I respect a sliver of Pete Golding's demeanor, and then I remember that he is a scumbag at the end of the day, and some of that respect starts to go away and wane. It is an amusing gimmick. It is an amusing gimmick to me, nonetheless. And
he's got to be top two quote in the conference.
Yeah, I just wouldn't even. I can't even imagine a world in which that guy's my head coach because of how drastically different he is from the head coach here in Tigertown. But that would be really hard to defend as my head coach. I like pointing and laughing from afar, regardless of the stuff that happened to Clemson and Ferrelli. And Sam, you know, I can be immature at times and I can hold grudges. Maybe I've just matured a little bit when it comes to this Ferrelli stuff that I don't really care. If you're willing to be bought away from our campus after making a commitment to a two-time national champion head coach and going to workouts and signing leases and signing on a car because all of this happened, enrolling in class and going to class, if you're willing to turn your back on all of that, does that say more about you or does that say more about the person that's recruiting you away from where you are? That's kind of where I'm at on the Ferrelli stuff.
Can it be both?
I think it could be a little bit of both. And that's where I'm at, where it's like, if this kid really thinks that insert X amount of money here is worth more to him than the relationships and the potential success, et cetera, that he would have had here when he already made a commitment to those people. And then to further that point, if the kid couldn't even stick it out for a year and then go portal to Ole Miss next year and get paid,
sure,
then why are we sitting here sour grapes about it a couple months after the fact? Roll Kobe McLeod out there and let's go play ball. We'll see who's ready in week one. That's kind of where my head's at on this. So maybe it's we're so close to football, I just don't really care. But I'm ready to go into war with the guys we got. And that's kind of where I'm at on the Ferrelli stuff.
He had a few bangers yesterday. Pete did. He had a few hits. They asked him about tampering. He said, and I quote, "Let's not act like recruiting in college football for the last 100 years has been the most moral thing." He's not wrong.
Again,
but
the worst person you know just made a great point.
Hilarious that he's the one talking about it, but you're not wrong. he said the number one requirement for being in our building is being a good dude. There have been some guys in that building that I'm not sure I would agree with the last couple of years.
Well, that one was funny.
there have been a couple. And then when he was asked about Lane Kiffin, he said, "Do you have an ex? Are you married? If you get married and you have an ex that your wife knows about, she doesn't end. She's never dead." So he had some hits. He was spinning the hits yesterday. I'm fascinated by everything that Ole Miss team represents this year. Everything that LSU Ole Miss game is going to be in week three.
It really is unfortunate. I'm being pulled. I love Trinidad Chambliss so much. I think he is such a fun football player. I wish he played on any other program in the country so I could be rolling my Heisman campaign out there and going full-blown Quawk Stan mode for the guy. I just can't do it. I can't do it. So that's our Ole Miss quip of the day. But Golding did have some ignorance. He had some hilarity. He had some truth. And that's probably kind of who he is. He's going to tell you the truth, or at least what his version of the truth is, and he's going to be inappropriate and semi-ignorant throughout that process. And you know what? That represents Oxford perfectly, just really with where I'm at on the situation. So if they can enjoy him, I'm good with our group. They can be good with their group. Wish nothing but the best to their program this year, and saying that with a giant smile on my face because it's not genuine. And good luck, Ole Miss. I will be rooting for you in week three. I found out yesterday I was in the minority with that.
I don't know what you expected.
I will be rooting for them in week three. I'm not rooting for Lane Kiffin in that scenario. He quit on his team.
I don't have a... Yeah, but Pete Golding screwed your team. I don't have a real rooting interest, like I said yesterday. But the idea of Kiffin going in there and just beating the heck out of Ole Miss is extremely appealing to me from a narrative perspective.
Maybe that would be funny. Texter gets in and says, "I think Pete isn't intelligent, honestly." This is something I've really worked on in my personal life the last couple years, is dealing with stupidity and trying to be better about that and trying to be more embracing of people that aren't as smart. So maybe that's why I've got a soft spot for Pete Golding, because, I mean, it's obvious when you hear the man talk that he's not very intelligent. So I'm trying. I'm trying to wrap my arms around him and give him a big old hug and meet hate with love.
That's insane. That's an insane statement.
I'm being serious. I just don't have patience for that stuff typically, Sam. That's a flaw of mine. And I'm having some patience with Pete Golding, where it's kind of just Sam and I say Sam and I don't want to wrap Sam into my nonsense. I use something when you see a pretty girl that might not have a lot going on between the ears, where it's just oh, honey. That's kind of how I view Pete Golding, where it's you really just don't know what you don't know. And you can just tell that the lights are on there and there's no one home. That's kind of where I'm at with Pete Golding, Sam. So I've taken the more comedic approach to it. I don't really care that Luke Ferrelli's not on my football team this year because he didn't want to be here. So there's my Pete Golding all honey comparison.
I don't have anything for that. I don't have a response to that. I I am extremely excited for week three. I think it's going to be an absolute electric factory, for lack of a better phrase. That is the best non-con game on the calendar this year for me, for ACC purposes.
Texter 415 says, Golding speaks like somebody gave PD from the trailer park down the road a suit and a mic. That's why the fans love him. They all share one brain cell, is what Texter 415 says. That's kind. Texter says, could Ole Miss and LSU both lose in week three? Is that an option? I think you should be rooting for the 72-74 LSU-Texas A&M overtime game, getting everybody fatigued so they lose the next week. That's probably what the best outcome is.
So that's the week I keep looking ahead at for both of them, is what comes next, because LSU's got A&M right after that, right? In week four, and yeah. I think that game's at home.
LSU's back at the crib against Texas A&M, yes.
It doesn't exactly make it any better. My worry for them is that they're so focused on that game that they don't really have the wherewithal to come down from the emotional toll that Ole Miss game might take. And it could go for both ways. And maybe I'm over-exaggerating how big of a deal that game is for both teams, but I don't think I am.
Texter 363 says, as much as I don't like LSU, I've had Twitter beef with 100 low-IQ Ole Miss fans, so go Tigers week three, spelled in the LSU way. I get that. And to be honest, I think 363 probably represents more of our fan base than they'd be willing to admit, where the chronic online contingent of the fan base, and I would include myself in this to a certain extent because I see everything, the Ole Miss fans are just very toxic and annoying. And they're just like straight up like crass is the best way I know how to describe it. So if that's where your basis is coming from, I get it. I see all that crap too. I'd like to think, like, I know a couple people that graduated from both Ole Miss and LSU. I'd like to think that the people I know in real life represent the majority of fans more than the online contingent, because I've got some good friends at both institutions, but that's not always how the world works, and that's not always how reality works. So if that's the crux of your argument is that you got chirped on Twitter by thousands of Ole Miss fans, sadly, I do understand that argument, and I've been there with different fan bases, and that is enough to cause you to hate somebody. So I get it, and they've been very annoying and very toxic, Sam. I think you'd agree with that, too, and you've seen some of that as well. Even with, like, the Golding stuff the other day, Clemson fans can't comment on anything Ole Miss-related without getting ratioed in the replies by a bunch of Ole Miss people saying, oh, we're just crying and you're broke. It doesn't really have anything to do with that. You can just go pay Luke Farrelly $2 million. Congratulations. You think he's Luke Kuechly? Go find out. He can get hurt week three, and all of a sudden that's burning money.
The disappointing part of all of it to me, and the part that I've continued to go back to, is I really wish that Clemson was able to keep him. I know it's gone on the back burner the last few months because it's all, you know, think piecing about college football and where it is right now and how Ole Miss factors into that and how Clemson factors into that and who's doing what and who's not doing what. But at the end of the day, I do wish they could have kept the player. I think he's really good. Like, that's why that was where my first frustration came in from this. It wasn't that we got tampered with necessarily. It was the strict football perspective of, man, I wish we could keep the guy. And then it was, okay, this is BS we're getting tampered with on a guy that's already on campus. I wish we could have kept the player. But when someone offers that much money, even if you've leased a car,
well,
not surprising.
No. You leased a car, you leased an apartment, you had been on campus, you had been in class, you had enrolled in class.
And then Ole Miss offered him that money, that lease was bought right out.
Yeah, which is just stupid. Like, he literally drove out of town with his, I'm not going to say the dealership and give free promo, the dealership he bought the car from on Lake Kiawee here was on his license plate in Oxford as of yesterday.
Yeah.
He still has the vehicle. Yeah, he still has the vehicle. I know someone on their coaching staff. He still has the vehicle. It was BS, regardless of regardless of whether we understand it or not.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't. It's ridiculous. But I just wish they would have kept the player because they weren't able to replace him.
The story I was told was that he was talking to teammates about going to a workout later that night, did not show up, and just had all, like, his laptop and everything that had been given to him neatly organized in his living room and just put it on the kitchen table and walked out and left and never came back.
Yeah. A masterclass in how to not communicate. Just an absolute masterclass in how to be bad at communication is what it was.
I mean, that's the easiest hate watch for the rest of my life ever. Easy. You don't even have to think about it. I'll just flip on the TV and just start laughing. I'm going to get my notepad out. Blown assignment. Yup. QB spy missed.
Pirelli hate watch.
Pirelli hate watch. I'm getting
my list up.
I'm getting an espresso.
Book it.
Hate watching all 12 games this year for that Joker. Unbelievable.
And they didn't replace him. They did not go into the portal and get a linebacker afterwards.
It was too late. We got Mintzed on a smaller scale.
They did.
We got Mintzed on a smaller scale.
That was what frustrated me, that they could not replace him. Like, that's what I'm getting at here. It was incredibly annoying to me, all the off the field aside, that they lost a good player and could not physically replace him in time because there was no option. Just an incredibly irritating situation across the board. Now you got to hear about it all offseason from Ole Miss fans that it happened to them so they can do it to other people. That argument doesn't work on the playground. They tell you that argument's stupid on the playground. If a kid kicks you, that doesn't give you the right to walk up to another kid and punch him in the face.
Yeah, it's not great logic, and it makes him look like a man baby, admittedly.
It makes the fans look like that, not him. He did his thing. I'm mad at him forever. But the fans are using that argument. It's like, okay, I don't care that Ole Miss lost a player to LSU. Like, I don't care. That doesn't mean we get to lose a player to you.
And the player Ole Miss lost to LSU started at, drum roll please, Clemson.
Yeah, it is history.
Yeah. interesting stuff there. Say cheese, Sam. Texter gets in and says, unfortunately, fans and graduates can be two big different things. Yeah, that's a good point. And, I mean, we'll take a break on this note, but when you get Ole Miss as, like, the state school, you do get a lot of people that claim it. I'm sure there's people that claim Clemson fans, too, and I don't know. I've never been a you're not allowed to root for my team guy. That's never really been my stance, so I don't gatekeep or pocket watch people's fandoms too much. I kind of just let you root for who you root for, and it's not really my business. So if that makes you happy, you can be happy. But I will agree that with LSU and Mississippi State, or in Mississippi and a lot of these big state schools, you do get a lot of the bandwagons that don't graduate from the school that gravitate towards them. So I get it. I don't think you have to be a graduate to be a fan, though. I think if you have family ties, or if you were raised in it, or if you're in the area, I don't need a whole lot of reasons for you to tell me why you pull for your team. That's your business, and I'll validate you regardless. You can pull for your team, but I do get the point there, Sam. Do you have any thoughts or commentary on that before we take a quick break? I've never really cared about gatekeeping fandoms and stuff.
Ole Miss's acceptance rate is 97%. So if you're a fan of Ole Miss and you didn't get into Ole Miss, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Is that actually the number? It's 97%?
I don't make things up on air.
Oh,
it's
Lordy.
About 97%. Mississippi State's is in the 70s. So,
yep.
You got it. I mean, if you're, I got great news. If they're a fan, they probably went. Who's not? Who's not going? Gates are open.
No, that's literally just like, I mean,
97
is insane.
I saw a graphic the other day with all of the acceptance rates for every Division I like football school. I'm pretty sure UTSA's was 100%. I gotta find this graphic. Let me find this graphic.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain UTSA had a 100% acceptance rate, which doesn't even seem possible.
Texter 830 gets in and says, if you want to come spend your money at Clemson to boost our NIL fund, I don't care who you root for, where you graduated from. That's kind of where I'm at, too.
That's not the approach a lot of people take, though.
It's like the Michael Jordan quote. What was it? Republicans buy sneakers, too. Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't care who you are or where you're at line or where you're at. If you want to help something that's helping me and the program that I root for, come on in. South Carolina fans want to pack out Death Valley for Morgan Wallen, come on in. I'll take that starting cornerback next year.
Buy that $15 beer.
We will love to contribute to the Clemson Foundation and would love that. Texter gets in and says Clemson at 42%,
yeah,
by the way.
That's about right.
I think it might even be a little bit lower than that.
I think it was 42.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was the number.
Was that this recent year? I know it was down to in the 30s in one of the recent years.
It's been going down. I think it's the in-state expectations get higher and higher and higher and higher. Same way it did for you and I when we were in high school, and UGA was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just kept going higher and higher and higher, and now I think they're pretty similar.
All right, we're over for break. We got a couple on the phone line. Sam will get y'all during the break, and we'll come back to it.
97.
654-ROAR is the number, and maybe we'll talk some more acceptance rates on the other side.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page
and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com.
Does your AC run nonstop, yet your home never feels comfortable? If rooms are too hot or too cold and your attic feels like an oven, the problem may be above your ceiling. At Koala Insulation of Greenville, they help homeowners with take control with blown-in insulation and solar attic fans. Blown-in insulation fills gaps while solar attic fans push heat out and ease strain on your HVAC system. You may qualify for up to a $1,050 Duke Energy rebate. Call Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779. That's Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779 and tell them Faxon at the Roar sent you.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
Once, because I was fine with my score, I did better on the ACT than SAT. 25 is the average at Ole Miss. Let's check just for comparison's sake what the average would be here these days. It's about 31. So...
What's a good SAT score? I never even paid attention to that because I never took it. What's their average SAT?
Average SAT where?
Yeah.
Ole Miss? Average SAT score at Ole Miss is around 1,100.
Man, Texter 830 just made my day. Texter gets in and says, Duke Tip Scholars took them in seventh. You know something about that.
Is that you?
And yeah. And then
so you did take it in seventh.
Yeah,
grade.
And then Greenville County Schools make everyone take the PSAT in eighth. Yeah.
Well, you weren't here in seventh grade.
No, I was not.
So... I didn't think you could really even, I guess there's no.
Texter 034 says I was wrong about cheering for Ole Miss, but he's right about the ACT in middle school.
Really?
I took it two or three times ever, but my mom's a teacher, dude. Like I was in every standardized test possible trying to get the best score so I could get into college. Like that was.
Middle school just seems early to take it in general, I didn't find it overly difficult.
Dude, I was going to like school camps in the summer. Like I went from focus to gifted to Duke Tip all in like the span of 3 years. And I just kept like, I was in a standardized test classroom format every summer. I promise. I don't remember all the specific ones, but I was in all of them.
I feel like you have a very odd vacation strategy. ACT in the summer, dentist appointment.
There was no vacation growing up, dude.
Texter got it and said, I hope Faxon enjoys his 12 appointments on his vacation.
There wasn't any vacation growing up, dude. We were going from soccer camp to classroom to classroom. There wasn't a vacation.
I remember taking the PSAT early, and we took it every year, and I always enjoyed that day because they let us leave early afterwards. I took the ACT once. I think I took it in 9th or 10th grade. I was very happy with my score. I was off to the races.
Peanut says I took the PACT and asked if it meant anything and got told it wasn't significant, so I took it in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
I
remember it didn't matter.
Wherever I was in, like, it was 6th, 7th, or 8th. We're just going to say middle school. I Christmas treed science, and I got, like, a 19 because I was just bored. Like, I had undiagnosed ADHD and was bored. I was, like, I was so over being in the classroom. I remember trying so hard on the reading section. It was like the best I ever did on a standardized test, like reading comprehension, and then like the English section I did really well. I got to science, and that's never been my thing, and I just completely Christmas treated it. Like I started doodling on the sheet, I started like drawing in the corners and stuff. Like it was bad. But I do remember that very vividly, and I remember because we had to drive to Lanier to take it for some reason, which I thought was stupid. So I had to take it in Lanier Middle School.
Not exactly far away.
Yeah, it wasn't that far, but it was just like I wanted home court advantage, and I felt like I was playing a road game.
Chad, the mailman, says all we care about is what Tommy Eaton scored.
Man, screw that kid. I don't care what he scored.
I hope that kid's having a great day somewhere. He's probably a great guy. Probably a great dude.
Texter said and still can't ride a bike. Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't have time to go out and do anything fun because he was taking the SAT in sixth grade.
Yeah.
You gotta put these things together. He's going to the dentist.
Good thing
on Saturdays.
Bike riding wasn't on the ACT. Y'all are funny. I've never even tried it. I will say that. I've never even attempted it, but we're gonna get there one day, Sam, and we will be there no matter what.
When we have the Roar Olympics out in the parking lot, we'll put that on the board. We'll put that on the board for you.
We're about to take Tom's phone call. 654 Roar if you want to get in. Texter says, I was told that my AP stat test was optional. We got the day off of school, so I signed up to take it and then didn't show up. Ended up with two ISSs for beating the system.
Why would you take the AP but not take the test, though? Why would you not take the test?
That's the only way you get credit. Come on. Lock
you just,
in.
You just showing in. You just taking the harder class just for the heck of it and not getting the reward?
To be honest with you, I never took APs as serious knowing that I could just lock in for the test. Like, I felt so confident.
Why did you take the class and not the test?
I've, I felt so confident I could get a four. Like, that was my goal. My goal wasn't to get a four. I got a five in AP Human. That was one of the only fives I ever got. My goal was to get a four. If I could get a four, I was good. And there was one where I scammed a three, and I just ran for the high hills. I don't remember what it was. I didn't pay a lick of attention in the class. It was like one of the only B's I ever made in my life. And I took that three, and I ran for it on the AP class, man.
That text got me for some reason. Why would you take the class and not the test?
ISS seems a little harsh.
Yeah, that's harsh. I mean, that's a decision. But then you got to take it again in college. Wasn't that the whole point? Wasn't that the whole point, to not have to take it in college?
Texter says, Faxon needs to take a bet this year, and if he loses, he needs to attempt to ride the bike and post it on the Roar Facebook page. Matter of fact, we want to see it live. We'll do it live. I'll just do it. I don't have to lose a bet. I'll just do it. I don't care. I will take Tom the Buckeye's phone call on that note. 654-ROAR is the number. Tom, appreciate you checking in, and good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, just listening to that conversation about the linebacker that you guys lost.
Oh, yeah, Luke Forelli.
I heard all that. Yeah, I heard all that while it was going on, and I just thought it was a bunch of crap. And what I was saying to Sam was I remember how upset we were at Ohio State when Ewers transferred out and went to Texas. He had a big NIL deal, had a car. There was some difficulty about the vehicle. I think he took it to Texas with him, and nowadays they're a little smarter about how they sign these NIL deals, but at least the guy waited. I kind of got his rationale for leaving. He was going to have to wait another year before he got the starting quarterback job, but the Forelli deal, if that's the guy's name, man, that was just totally dirty. I mean,
yeah.
Once you're on campus, once you've committed, you stay. And like you said, I mean, after a year, if he wanted to transfer out after that, that's fine. But I just thought the whole thing was dirty. And, man, I'm really rooting for Louisville against them. And I think that is a big game for the ACC, man. If they could pull that off and you guys could get a couple wins against this SEC this year in some of these cross-conference games, I think it would go a long way to legitimizing a couple of playoff teams out of the ACC this year.
Man, I would love a couple playoff teams in the ACC, and I don't think they were that far away from that being the case last year, Tom. Georgia Tech really bottomed out at the end of the campaign. They were 9-0 and top 10 at one point. You look at Clemson and the disappointment that they had considering the talent level that was on the roster. And then you go and look at a team like Virginia, who was really one win away against a Duke team that lost five games from punching their ticket. The league was a lot better than being given credit for last year. That's something I'll say. And then this year, it's going to be really intriguing to see if that depth can, continue to sustain itself, because I think the answer to that question is yes. I'm really high on SMU. I'm really high on Miami. I think both of those teams are going to go to the college football playoff, and then you've got that next tier, which I think Clemson is in as well, where you could play your way into the college football playoff. So I know you're a big Keenholz guy, Tom. I've got Louisville very high in my ACC projected order of finish as well, and I'm excited to watch your boy get after it because I think he's talented.
Yeah, and I am really looking forward to that game against Ole Miss. And, I think it's going to be an interesting year for them with all the stuff that went on and the coach leaving. And I know you have your thoughts about Golden. Obviously, Chambliss is a great quarterback, but, I'm not a big SEC fan as it is, so I'm really interested to see kind of how their season turns out, with all the upside down stuff they've had going on, controversy, everything else.
Yeah, for sure. Tom, appreciate you checking in as always, brother. And I'm sure we'll catch up here in the next couple of weeks. I know you're just as excited for football getting back as I am. And I'm excited for your Buckeyes. And I'm excited for, I guess it's your Cardinals this year with Big Lincoln at quarterback, man. We're excited to watch them play against Ole Miss week one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you checking in. 654-ROAR is the number. I will take a break here momentarily. We got a ton of AP talk on the text line. Adam's code roofing text line at 654-ROAR. Somebody said AP human. What the heck is that? I don't.
Human geography.
Human geography. Yeah.
Cultural diffusion, migration, cultural conflicts, I suppose, stuff like that. It was actually a pretty interesting class. I like that class.
I like that class, too. We had a good teacher.
My teacher made us grilled cheese on the last day of the year, and we watched Tron.
Who,
so.
You had the lady. Who was the lady? What was her name?
Miss Massey. Miss Katie Massey.
Everybody liked
her. My sister had her for like two different classes. Shout out to her.
I was rocking with
Elle Wenger. I hope she's doing better than Tommy Eaton right now, wherever she is.
That poor kid's got no idea what he started.
I hope he went to Ole Miss.
Texter
just add an element to it.
Texter gets in and says, "It's Jason in Columbia, 5 in AP English and 5 in AP Calc, two-way player like Air Jordan. Also, my friends and I took AP Chem. The first year it was offered, teacher told us we would fail because we had never seen the AP test, so we didn't know how to cater the class to passing it. We all scored ones on the test. Oof. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm behind a microphone for a reason, and I never took a chemistry class outside of high school, so I can't really say too much on that.
I did. Let me tell you, it didn't go well.
Yeah, I took one science in college, and it was geology my freshman year, and it was like we had to take home rock kits and analyze rocks and dirt and whatever. I never retained any level of that information, and that's the case for a lot of my schooling, unfortunately, because that's just how my brain works. So shout out to geology. I guess. Glad it wasn't chemistry. Texter gets in and says, took AP U.S. History and AP English, got a 4, got a 5 on AP U.S. History exam, and then got a 1 on the AP English 4 exam. My girlfriend with me had broken up with me at the time of the AP English exam, so that's why I stunk it up. That was an away game. You were walking into a hornet's nest. That's like playing Mexico and Azteca. I'm sorry, brother. I know you were fighting demons. That's a bad time to have to take a standardized test, Sam. I would not wish that on anyone. Texter says AP. All I know is that Pete is a insert here from the text line there. So that's some great stuff. All right, let's take a break. We'll take Seminole Ted's phone call on the other side. We had a question at the beginning of the program that I did want to get into. 654 Roar is the number that asked me to rank the top 10 blue blood programs of college football dating back to 2005, like a 20-year sample size. Who have the best 10 football programs been? I think like 8 of these are pretty easy. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, LSU.
The harder part being putting them in order, I guess?
Yeah, I think putting them in order would probably be difficult. I mean, Bama would be one. They have 6 national championships in that time frame. That's not really arguable. And then you have the hodgepodge of Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State at 2 through 4. And then you probably have LSU at 5. That would be where I'm at. With the top 5, because Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State have immensely more success when it comes to conference championships and going to the college football playoff than LSU does. But LSU does have two championships and 3 title game appearances with the case to have the best team ever. So I think they're in that next tier. But interesting question. Maybe we can walk some of that out as well. And you guys can keep getting in with AP Talk on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage, we're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today.
Have you lost confidence in your smile? Maybe you've been putting off dental treatment for years, or you just want to whiten your teeth to start a new chapter. From orthodontists to veneers to dental implants, come see what an advanced cosmetically engineered smile means. All treatment is at an affordable monthly price to fit anyone's budget. Book your appointment today at ace-smiles.com. That is ace-smiles.com. Ace Smiles is at the Clemson Dental Implant Center, where confident smiles begin. And again, if you want to score big on some savings today, monthly payments that fit anyone's budget, ace-smiles.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
Right, gray. You're turning to the left, gray. Like,
there's an age
nobody.
Limit. You have to be a certain age to live on most of the complexes there. It's beyond the point.
Yeah, that was beyond the point. There were so many snowbirds. I remember that too, where it was just like,
that's one of your favorite songs.
I saw so many Ohio and Michigan license plates in one community in Florida. It was unbelievable.
You don't want to be in Ohio or Michigan in December, so.
No, you definitely don't.
Or in March, I guess.
We'll wrap the AP talk here. Texter says 2 5s, quit AP calculus exam because it was senior cut day. Yeah, good. You should have. Another texter got in saying they got thrown out of ISS. I never got ISS. I never got suspended. I was like, I towed the line perfectly. Now, I had a permanent residency in silent lunch. Like, they might as well have just slapped my name on it at that point, especially in 8th grade. In 8th grade, Mr. Christensen just had a bone to pick with me, and I was in silent lunch, like, every day. Sam had him, too. Man, hated that dude. God almighty.
You remember all the names of all... I remember Mr. C.
Yeah.
This class was hard.
Terrible. Terrible. It was hard because of the teacher. Let's get Seminole Ted in here. Ted, good to hear from you, brother. You watched the game last night that we almost collapsed in?
Man, I tell you what. Hey, pull it out by the skin of our teeth. The Padres give us fits every single time they play us, especially in San Diego. But, man, that team's just so stacked offensively that even when they're not hitting good, they seem to light up Braves pitching. Well, I think the key to the game today at 12 is we got to get at least 6 or 7 innings out of Chris Sale today, and he's got to be prime Chris Sale today. And I think if we do that, we win the game. I love seeing what Jimmy Ball's doing right now, and he just looks like he's having so much fun out there. And I'll take that ride as long as we have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he had the triple last night, and, you know, I watched a little bit last night. I've been less consistent than I've wanted to with the Braves. There's just been a lot going on. But I'm hoping to lock back in here for the next couple of weeks and really, you know, get in the weeds with this team. 2 more hits for Matty O last night and 2 more walks. He continues to be fantastic. Harris had a rough one last night, but he did get an RBI, which ended up being a differentiator. Riley with 2 hits. So, yeah, it was good vibes, and old Jim Jarvis – Old Jim Jarvis at short and Brewer Hicklin out and right. Let me tell you, man, this is what this country was built on in Braves country, Ted. These are 2 ball players at the bottom of our order right here.
Well, you know, it's next man up mentality, right? But keep that man up. I don't want Ha-Seong Kim playing shortstop. I want him playing there.
Jarvis is a lot better than what's-his-face, than Ha-Seong. I'll give him that at minimum. He is vastly better than Ha-Seong Kim.
And I'm going to say this, Riley is coming out of his funk. Even though he had an 0-for-9 the other night, every ball he's hitting just about, he's hitting hard, and he's not striking out as badly now as he was. I think he's starting to come around out of that funk, and if we can get a good second half out of him, I think we're going to be all right. Because if you have one position not hitting well, as long as everybody else is doing their thing, it's not going to affect us as much. But, you know, I'm looking for us to win today. You take 3 out of 4 for the top Padres, a team that really shouldn't play you the way they do, but they do anyway. You're doing something right if you take 3 out of 4. And I like our chances against Baltimore, too. But I'll take it off the air. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in, Ted. 654 Roar is the number. And we did our best to blow this one last night, Sam. It was one of those where we scored 6 in the bottom of the 8th. I cut the game off. I just started getting notifications and started saying what at my phone because the Padres put up 5 more runs in the top of the 9th. But the Braves get out of there 7-6 the final. Padres fall 6-7. And Iglesias gets the save even though he gave up a run. Whoever quote-unquote Victor Medeiros is.
Have you not been? Victor Medeiros has been good for the Braves.
I know.
Victor
he's Medeiros been decent.
Medeiros has been fantastic in whatever role they've been thrusting him into in that bullpen.
He's been like 4 games.
Yeah, but until last night.
I don't want to see too much of him. I don't want to see too much of him. That was the first time he'd really give it a shot in leverage. Like, usually he's been like a 2-inning eater guy. Like, I saw him pitch a couple weeks ago against Texas, and we were up like 12-1.
Yeah, they haven't been using him much. They used him on Monday for nearly 3 innings, and he was fantastic in the first game of the series, but did not have a great outing last night. For what it's worth, neither did Didier Fuentes, but he's 20 years old, so what are you going to do? Austin Riley has a 792 OPS since the start of July. Obviously, that's not where you want it still. You're hoping for north of 800 with a guy like that. But since July 5th, it is north of 800 in what is like a 14-game sample size. He's got 14 hits and 52 tries. He's hit 3 homers since then. Still striking out a good bit, but at the same time, you take the strikeouts if the power is there. So Riley's been a lot better lately. And for the Braves, if they're going to be competitive in October, you have to have at least 7 guys in your lineup to compete with the Dodgers that you feel like can truly stack up. And Riley not being one of them is, I think, a death sentence for them. So getting him back going and at least getting him back to a 770, 70, 80 OPS consistently to be above league average and be an actual threat in the middle of the bottom of the lineup is huge. Seminole Ted is correct about that, though. He's hitting the ball harder. He's impacting it more. The stats would bear that out. His exit velo has gone up a little bit the last couple weeks, and his OPS has risen with it. So you just kind of hope that he's turned some sort of corner here the last couple of weeks, and the Braves have a deeper lineup because of it. Because they're not going to win without Austin Riley being Austin Riley.
The Padres are a disaster, dude. I didn't realize how bad things were until I started looking at some stats. Machado is going to drop below 200 today.
He's been below 200 for the majority of the year. He just got over it.
Bogarts is 220. Jake Cronenworth is hovering the 200 line.
Cronenworth hasn't been good for a few years now. Bogarts was an atrocious contract the minute he signed it, and it has been an atrocious contract since he stepped foot on the field for them.
Last year for Cronenworth, had his best year in five or six, maybe of his career. Since his sophomore year. Yeah,
His first three seasons were very good. Cronenworth has not been great since then.
Yeah.
Good glove. Not a consistent, not really just a league average bat at this point. This year he's been bad.
He's a negative win player. This is horrifying.
581 OPS. The Padres haven't been able to hit this year. That's been the problem the entire season. Tatis didn't get any power until late into May, and he still really doesn't have much of it. He's only hit 8 home runs this year.
Manny had his first 4-win season in 3 years last year, and now is like hovering the line of being a positive win player. This is like...
Well, I think the age gap has come for Machado at this point. There is some age there. Cronenworth was a little older when he got called up. I think there's some of that coming for him as well, but it doesn't really make sense to me why he's fallen to a 580 OPS guy. The big one for me is Jackson Merrill, because they paid Jackson Merrill, and they expected him to be a superstar after his rookie year, and that was a very good bet. He was an 826 OPS guy. He hit 24 homers. He swiped like 16 bags, and he did that at 21. And this year he's running a 658 OPS with terrible batted ball metrics comparatively after his OPS dropped last year and he got hurt. So that's the one for me that if you're the Padres, you're worried more about him and Machado, or him and Tatis, because they're still young, relatively speaking, with Tatis. Machado, Bogarts, you kind of knew the back half of those contracts would likely be underwater. Bogarts never really stayed above water, but those two are the ones where if you're San Diego, you're looking at the next 5 years and saying, if we can't turn them around and get them back to full all-star form, what are we doing?
This is terrible. Like, this is just terrible. Texter gets in and says Machado is under contract to until 2033.
That's your favorite GM right there. I've been trying to tell you for years that A.J. Preller is not good at his job.
That guy's the man.
He might be the man, but he's paying Xander Bogarts $25 million until the end of time. He's paying Machado $25 million till the end of time.
I respect his philosophy. I'm not a long-term contract guy. If they were my logic with the biggest gripe I have with Preller, in all seriousness, outside of like my half tongue-in-cheek fandom of him, why didn't they just pay Soto? If they were going to pay anybody of the guys that they've acquired,
$500 million.
Why didn't they just pay him?
Because they're paying Manny Machado and Xander Bogarts. This is why he's a bad GM. This is why he's a bad general manager.
Were they inked into the Bogarts contract before they paid before they got Soto?
They were inked into the Machado one. They had already extended Tatis. They knew a Merrill contract was coming. They had Bogarts when they got Soto. I believe those two overlapped. I think they traded Soto the same offseason they signed Bogart. He's not a good GM.
How did this team never win? I guess
because he's not a good GM.
All right, we'll walk this out a little bit on the other side of a quick break. 654 Roar is the number.
The hitting hasn't been good enough in the playoffs, and the pitching hasn't been good enough at times in the playoffs. They never both come together at the same time. He just trades everything for everybody.
Yeah, he does. All right, quick break coming here. We'll talk more Major League Baseball on the other side, and we'll shift gears to football right after this on The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are The Roar.